Our next storyteller is Sage Cohen. Sage was born in Boston but missed the Red Sox victory when she was serving in the Peace Corps in Kyrgyzstan. During the 80s in California, she started mountain biking, teleskiing, and organic gardening, and has only expanded her outdoor pursuits since moving to Anchorage in 1987. She is happy to be celebrating 25 years at her home in Fairview. She is retired from the Anchorage School District between summers off, unpaid leaves from teaching, and what she calls pre-retirement. Sage hiked and biked and volunteered in over 24 countries on 6 continents. Among her solo cycling trips are the Karakoram Highway, Pamir Highway, and the Carretera Austral. Not bad for someone who only got her first passport just shy of her 40th birthday. Sage will share with us tonight how she got started traveling the world. Please help me welcome Sage Cohen.
We don't use these in teaching. So I was in my 20s, and I never had any interest in travel. Not world travel, not even the world. I would never even look at the international pages of a newspaper. And people would ask me about my travel. I'd say, oh, I'll travel when I'm in my 40s, because when you're 22, 40 is like no commitment. So as Steve said, I moved to Anchorage when I was 30, kind of said, you can do the math. And I had the most amazing decade. If you remember your first decade here between mountain biking, teleskiing, backpacking, berry picking, dip netting, rollerblading, ice skating, rafting, I know I'm missing something. It was just amazing number of activities and friends to connect me to this place. So I'm still connected to Boston, and when I go back there, I'd like to just wander around the city and kind of get lost looking up at the urban landscape. And there was just one day I was on a perfect corner, 3 different streets, gazing up at these towering buildings. And some guy comes up and is like, are you okay? Are you lost? Do you need help? And I said, oh no, I live here. I was born here. Of course, I lived here. But I realized that I have a sense of home in Boston, and I wasn't really afraid at all of being there. But imagine being in a foreign city where you're standing on a corner looking completely lost, and some stranger comes up and says, are you okay? Do you need help? And it's like, yeah, I'm fine. And then, you know, try to find a child, because that's always an island of safety. So I might have to cheat. Uh-oh. What happens next? Boston. Connected to home. That was when I realized that, yeah, when you're home, you're safe, you're not afraid. And, well, I guess domestic violence and political terrorism aside, when you're home, you're not afraid. And it's the same here when you're on the trail. If you're heading to Kincaid on the coastal trail, you're not afraid. Wild animals and serial killers aside, you're not afraid, you're home. It's too bad we have to laugh at that. But yeah. So I was at the old Fireweed Theater one day, wasted a perfectly, well, kind of rainy Saturday, watching the worst ever movie. Even though James Spader was in it, it was a complete waste of time. And then when I got out to the parking lot, my key broke off in the door and I had to waste a couple more hours. So when I left, I just drove straight to the store to buy ice cream, not beer. And then I'm waiting at the corner at the light, and I see this poor kid in yellow rain gear on a fully loaded bike crossing the street. So we met in the parking lot, and I offered him hospitality, and he told me about his bike journey, the Ring of Fire tour from Japan to Kamchatka. That was pretty awesome that he got permission to ride the whole length of that. He was in Alaska and heading down to California. When he left, he gave me some gifts, and the best one was the inspiration that, hey, I could do this. I could travel the world on a bicycle too. Well, I was just about 40, and I was actually depressed, and it wasn't because I was getting old, because 40, we all know, I'm looking at the audience, is really quite young. well, you'll see. it was because I had nothing else to live for. That's the, I guess, the definition of depression. But I mean, I'd accomplished all my goals. I had a job, I had a car, I had toys, I had my house, and I had all my outdoor skills, avalanche safety, wilderness medicine. And I'd been to the greatest places, the Brooks Range, Katmai, down the Copper, across the Harding Ice Field, and I really didn't have anything else on my list. And I thought, I guess when in my 40s, I'll travel. So that was when I decided I got a passport and I started to plan. Of course, travel by bike. Although the truth is I traveled with a bike, not really by a bike, because I didn't really follow the plan. I followed my inspiration, spent a lot of time riding a horse and teaching English and being on a beach and trekking in Nepal. And the 800 kilometers that I did ride were the most amazing ones you could imagine. It was called the Karakoram Highway from Kashgar in the far west of China, well, they call it China, the ancient Silk Road capital, and over Kundra Pass, I think 15,400 feet, into Gilgit, Pakistan. The road goes through these towering Himalaya peaks, 20, 25,000 feet high. And there I am, just like all by myself, Jewish girl in Pakistan, riding my bike, lost in these beautiful peaks and actually really at peace. Now, it wasn't that way on day one. You know, in Anchorage, when you get in the airplanes, they go south, they go east, sometimes they go north. Well, my first flight went west. And we're just going over the inlet, and I'm thinking, oh my God, this is the wrong direction. I'm in for it now. It's almost like going to Mars, frankly. And the only thing that saved me at that point was the Dorothy power. I didn't have any red shoes, but I had a blue card that I could swipe, and I just knew that I could buy a ticket home at any point. And that's what gave me the confidence to keep going. So for that first trip, I prepared. I got my bike and my gear together. I did an altitude climb in California. I did an overnight backpack, bike pack, before Revelate, in Aklutna. The most important preparation was actually just passing the, was that an advertisement? just passing the Valley of the Moon Park. And I was imagining a foreign person on that trail thinking, oh my gosh, I'm in Alaska. Where am I? This is so scary. And realizing, well, we're not scared because we're at home. It's just the same for us, just going down the trail. And I imagined myself in another country having that sense. Local people are not afraid. They're just at home, no matter what they're doing, with those exceptions. So there aren't really that many local people in Mongolia riding their bikes around. They're going by horse. So I'll wind down by telling you, here I am on a horse in Mongolia with a guide who speaks less Russian than I did at the time and certainly no English. And this is like the epitome of the trip. I spent 3 months in Mongolia out of six. And how foreign is that? You know, the other side of the planet. And I remember specifically this larch forest and looking down, and the whole thing was pink on the ground. It was fireweed. Yeah, you get it. It's like, oh, I can be on the other side, but I'm still home. This earth really is my home. So it's no surprise when I go to Carretera Austral, that's Tierra del Fuego, or New Zealand, or Iceland, you'd expect that you could find landscapes that look just like here, right? So in those places, I do feel at home, and I do feel at peace. But anywhere I go, if I see a little forget-me-not flower in a crack in a rocky mountain in North Africa. And that's all it takes, just to say, yep, it's one earth, and I'm at home in it. That's all.